You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your RJ Ochoa. He is your 75, two-time Super Bowl champion, College Football Hall of Famer, and the newest, the freshest member of the Ace Club, Tony Casillas. TC, what up?
You're right. I'm doing great, by the way, RJ. It's one of those things I've been chasing for a long time, and after all these years of playing countless rounds of golf, finally got that that prize that we all, you know, tried to get a hole in one. So it was pretty euphoric. It was I gotta tell you, man, it was just an amazing feeling. It's really kind of hard to describe. I mean, so, I know it sounds just kind of corny, but you know, people that play golf, I know you play golf, it's the odds of getting one is in your lifetime is pretty small.
So before we talk about football, we have a lot to get into with Keanu Neal and everything, but I wanted to wait. I texted you, congrats, because you posted the video and everything, but I wanted to hear the details here. Give us the full details, the course, the hole, the club, the reaction. I mean, like, what was your thought process and everything?
I'll do the Reader's Digest. If people don't know what that is, it's a very small description. It's like if you have to Google Reader's Digest. But first of all, a friend of mine, we played in a golf tournament. It was the golf tournament was a Saturday where I got my hole in one. So a good friend of mine invited me to play in this golf tournament, and I'm thinking, okay, let me check my schedule. Didn't have anything to do. So I ended up playing in this golf tournament. It was a fundraiser. It's a Champions Golf Club in Fort Worth. Greg Norman actually designed the course probably, I'm going to say, 15, 16 years ago. It was so hard. He went out there and shot 78, so they had to re-renovate it to make it easier. So anyway, we've been playing in this golf tournament all day long. And so there was a group ahead of us or behind us that were playing in the tournament. And obviously, and we said, hey, why don't we just, we're not going to win. I think we're like 10 or 11 under. And in some of these golf tournaments, RJ, people, they have like a 21 under and right, a lot of drinking and probably just pencil whipping. So let's play the last two holes for some money, a little wager. So they joined us, and it's a par three, 140 yards.
This is number 17, you're saying?
Number 17. And so the first group, the guy is so funny. The guy in front of us in the group that we're playing against, he hit his shot and it ricocheted off the flag stick.
Oh,
and
wow.
And it bounced probably 20 yards off the green. So I get up there with a pitching wedge, and it's like one of those flush shots you hit, and you're like, oh, man, that looks good. And so I see it hits in the green. It bounces once and slam dunks in the hole. And I'm thinking, oh my God, there's the great part about it. There's like eight guys that were there to witness it.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm like jumping up. All of a sudden I get this youth adrenaline in me. And I'm just, you know, like, I got a freaking hole in one. And I'm just, oh my God. I'm like, it was just ridiculous how we celebrate. And all these guys are like, dude, you got a hole in one. And the best part about it is I know that in some tournaments you play that, there's a car or something on the for prize, right, in this tournament. It's close to the pin. And sometimes you can't see it. I was able to watch it. It was almost like in slow motion. You see it bounce and then disappear in the cup. And that's when I was walking up, and again, I really wasn't convinced that it was a hole in one until I actually, in the video I posted, right, I walked on the green, I looked in the hole, and there it was. And I had one of those COVID cups because now, during COVID, it bounces out. So that's another thing. It could have hit in the hole and bounced out, but man, that was beautiful. And it was, wow, just, and it cost me a lot of money. I don't know whoever thought of this, but if you get a hole in one, this is for future reference. I don't know if you know someone, you've ever played with someone that's gotten a hole in one.
Oh, yeah.
But they're supposed to pay the bar tab. Yep. And it didn't cost me that much, but most of the tab was me drinking because right. I was celebrating, brother. Well, but it was amazing.
I bet that was the happiest you've ever been to pay a big time bar tab. That's awesome. The COVID cup is a scary situation for a hole in one. I guarantee you, you would have been, I think you'd probably still be mad if, cause it's got that, like, what is it? Like those like pool floats or whatever, those like pool noodles. And so like, if it had gone in and bounced out of the COVID cup, that would have been awful. But you're right. Like sometimes you can't see it. Like sometimes it's just kind of like, did that go in? And you're just like, you're in this, like, and then you get up there, you're like, it's 2 feet out or whatever, but that's awesome, dude. Really happy for you.
It was like a professional, like, golf, like you see them, like you know, like on TV, or you see someone get one and it bounces once. And it was just, you know, I was looking at the odds because I knew we were going to be talking about this a little bit before we got into our podcast. The odds of getting the hole in one is like 12,500 to 1. And I don't know if that's, think about how many rounds you have to play. And some people are lucky. I mean, it is luck, right?
Totally.
But think about how many rounds you have to get a hole in one. And, but yeah, that was one of those bucket list ones, man.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, I mean, because it is, it's, I would say it's like 90% skill. But it is luck because sometimes it bounces. Sometimes dudes, they go in on the fly. I mean, you went off one bounce. I mean, like, it really is just like, in a lot of ways, like Mother Nature, but that's sick. That's awesome. So, well, you had a good weekend. The Dallas Cowboys, I think most people were satisfied with what they did over the weekend, obviously signing Keanu Neal, 1 year, $5 million. Technically a 3-year deal with 2 void years. You ever do a contract with void years? Were those like a thing, or are all these void year things new to you?
They're new. And I think they put that in there just because the language and the event that they, basically a 1-year deal, but no, it's, I think it's funny because some of these deals that they sign, we'll get into the list, but some of them are players that are 1-year deals that are in their 30s and they're not expected to play a lot of snaps. And I think I remember when I signed my free agent deal with Cowboys, I had the terminology and incentives in there, and I ended up playing like almost 60% of the down. So hopefully it won't get to that point, but definitely was some good moves, I thought.
What was the hardest incentive for you to reach? Like when you looked at that list, you were like, I'm never getting that one. Like what was the most impossible one?
Well, I really thought that my last 2 years, I was going to be a backup, kind of like, play 20, 25 snaps a game. And that was when Leon Lett had some hiccups and ended up getting suspended. So lo and behold, I was the dude that was 34 years old, 33 years old, playing 60%, 65% snaps. So they put that in there they thought the Cowboys, when they signed the deals, that I wasn't going to get there. And in all actuality, I ended up getting paid a lot of incentives, but the only one I didn't get paid for is the one that my last game I played in, I needed 9 snaps.
Oh.
And they were setting counting plays. They took me out the 8th play of the game, and that cost me $250,000. I'm still bitter about that. But when I hear about that, but anyway, it's in the past, but. Yeah, I think all in all, I think they addressed definitely the positions on defense they needed to.
Man, I don't know what's worse, like bouncing out of the hole because of the COVID cup or not getting that last snap. I mean, those are two very different things, but man, that sucks.
Well, I just remember after the game, and it's so funny because we're going to go down this hole, is that Craig Bowler was a defensive line coach back then. And I remember I remember it vividly. And like I mentioned, I wasn't expecting to play the whole, I wasn't expecting to play 55% of the snaps, during the season. Yeah. And so it goes like in different increments, it goes 49, 59, and all these different percentages. And I wasn't expecting that. So it's so ironic that here we are talking about this about 2 months ago. I get a phone call from Coach Bowler, who was a defensive line coach in 1997. And he just, we had this conversation. He says, Tony, I just want to apologize. So what do you apologize? Because I remember that day, whenever you had one more snap to play, and we pulled you out of the game, and it cost you $250,000. So I'm just telling you that I was so sick. He lives in Iowa. He's from Iowa. He lives in Iowa now. He got in his car after the game and drove all the way to Iowa because he felt so bad. But it's a dog eat business. But yeah, some of the incentives they put in there, you think you're not going to get it because it's out of reach, but all it takes is something to happen crazy like that. And, they continue to do that, put incentives in the contract, but they do count plays. You're not thinking they're counting plays, RJ. They are counting beans.
I would hate to be the guy that
I was pissed, man. I was pissed.
But that I would hate more than anything, but I would hate to be the guy that has to count the plays. You know what I mean? Like, because everything's happening so fast. And so it's like your number was 9 on that last day. But like, imagine being like, has he played 7 snaps? You know what I mean? And like being unsure, you know, like I would hate that. And then to be wrong. And then, you know, Jimmy or whoever is like, dude, what the hell? You had one job to count Tony's plays and you messed it up. And now he hit his bonus or whatever.
Well, this was called Switzer. This was Switzer back then. And I knew whenever I came out, I'm like, okay. And I remember I almost getting my uniform on after the game. And I was just going to go straight from the field to my car. And my wife said, let's go. She goes, what are you mad about? She says, I'll tell you. But anyway, that was a long time ago. And I remember Jerry said, oh, well, I'll make it right. And I'm like, well, I guess in a way I've made it right for myself because I played on those teams and have been able to monetize and capitalize on 20 something years later. I get to do a show with the great RJ Ochoa. So I guess in hindsight, I'm getting repaid, right?
Well, that is
I need a hike in my salary, by the way. All right.
Yeah. hole in one bonus. That is really interesting. So, yeah. Keanu Neal is getting $5 million for 1 year. We can get to him in a second, but the Cowboys did address the interior of the defensive line. They continue, Tony, to just chill. I mean, it's just whoever. I mean, and I think a lot of people really like Brent Urban. He grades really well in the run game, and that's really nice to see. The advanced metrics are a fan of his. The first defensive player that got the Cowboys on the board free agency-wise was Carlos Watkins. And, I mean, I think it's pretty rare in today's NFL with the average fan that listens to the 750 or whatever, because everybody's so plugged in that you get a player you've never heard of. Carlos Watkins was definitely, not under a rock, but I mean, not necessarily, the face of Sunday Night Football or anything. And so, I mean, Carlos Watkins was kind of, whatever. Brent Urban, okay, there's something to like there. They did sign Terrell Basham as an edge rush option. Fine. And then Keanu Neal. And so I don't know that the Keanu Neal thing is interesting, certainly. And there's obviously the Dan Quinn factor, but I think overall they're having a fine free agency, but I don't think they're having the type of free agency that they needed, which is the most concerning thing.
I think I just kind of what I expected. I think that they needed to address depth, and Keanu Neal is a very serviceable, defensive back. I mean, I think that they talk about maybe using him as a hybrid, maybe move him down as a linebacker, but he's more of a guy around in the box. I mean, he's not a ball hawk and a safety.
Right.
And he had 100 tackles last year, had 9 tackles for loss. And so he can hunt around the line of scrimmage. So I do like them going with him. It's not costing a lot of money. And it doesn't, to me, doesn't take out the notion of them trying to draft someone at that position. But I think the familiarity with Dan Quinn, and Dan Quinn knows him. I think he knows the system, so it's an easy adjustment, and he can help a lot of other guys. I think, to me, that's something that he can really fit in well and really just kind of help other people under the other defensive backs and secondary kind of understand the philosophy. I like the leadership, but he can play. And I think that that's, sometimes I think that that's a little misleading when you talk about a safety, what he represents, because you look at Jamal Adams and a guy that, And not trying to compare him to them, but Jamal Adams, I mean, he can make plays around the box. I mean, last year, I think he was leading the Seattle Seahawks with sacks.
Right.
So there's a lot of volume that goes along with that. And if he can continue, and like I said, he gives him some veteran leadership, and the dude can make plays. And I'm good with that.
So this was something that Cowboys Twitter was kind of talking about and kind of just floating out. I don't want to call it a conspiracy theory, but really just a theory. And it's a little bit out of the way now. On Sunday, portions of Jalen and Zeke's contracts became guaranteed.
Yeah.
So they're more difficult to move on from. But you're right. Like, okay, Keanu Neal, maybe you're going to play some safety. Maybe you're going to play some weak side linebacker. Weak side linebacker is obviously Jalen Smith's position, mm-hmm. because he's not a great middle linebacker. It's not like the Cowboys have a great middle linebacker, but that's fine. It's, you know, apparently they'll just operate without a middle linebacker. It's fine. I mean, the idea, I guess, that people had is, okay, maybe Keanu Neal's here to kind of not phase Jalen out, but impact Jalen's snap count total. Maybe Jalen's not hitting his snap count, you know, incentives or whatever. Do you view it as that? I mean, because I don't know of a position that, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but I don't know of a position that I feel that Jalen Smith is good at, right? Like, people have talked about before, like, let him rush, right? Like, put his hand on the ground and let him just, you know, minimize his job. That's a whole different conversation. But I think I trust Keanu Neal to be more explosive than I do Jalen at this point. I mean, I don't know if you feel the same.
Well, here's the thing. I think whenever you have a new defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, and you want to bring your type of style of guys in. I mean, you see it a lot. And I think that part of the whole evaluation and looking at what you already have is watching a lot of film and looking at your personnel. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe this may be kind of something that made me motivate Jalen Smith just a little bit, or kind of send a message in an indirect way and maybe feel a little threatened. Cause I know even if he gets a guaranteed money, still, it doesn't, if you're a professional athlete, I think the thing about really kind of motivates you is a little insecurity. And really, I think last year, if you watched the way he played in that system, was a little ambiguous. I don't know. It was just a little.
You're being really nice.
Well, yeah, I'm not, because I mean, we've all thrown him under the bus. I mean, we've all like really just, he's been the guy that, and rightly so. But the point is, I know as a player, when you bring someone in, you're like, why they make that? What are they doing that for? They're bringing a guy in that's he has a chance to be weak side lineman. I don't know if they'll go that route, but certainly, whenever they struggle, whenever they just bring another guy down inside, you know, around the line of scrimmage, and to be able to have a hybrid guy like that that can cover. I mean, this guy's not like Roy Williams used to play with the Cowboys.
Right, that's a true box safety. Right, yeah.
Right. So this guy can cover, but I think his skill set and just his football IQ and just his instincts to be able to just move around the field and know where the ball's going. We didn't really see that with Jalen last year. It seems to me just all his instinct just kind of vaporized because he was just out of proportion. I mean, we could all agree with that. So I think it's an indirect message. But it's a concern that they had on this team. Like, we need a safety, but we also need someone that can really add some volume around the line of scrimmage and not be so insecure at that position.
Yeah, Jalen, to me, you ever go like on vacation? You ever go like scuba diving or something? I'm sure you've done that. Like,
no, I'm not. No, use another analogy.
Okay, well, but you know how like
when I know you what do- you mean. I've done when you get this really freaking claustrophobic. I mean, what are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is like whenever they make you put on like the wetsuit and then like the flippers and everything.
Yeah,
but you put them on dry land and then you go jump in the water, right? But so when you're walking to the boat or whatever, you're like all clunky, like you know, whatever. Yeah. That was Jalen, right? Like that was Jalen, and because like it was almost like he was out of environment, which is weird to say, but Keanu is this hybrid of a player. I mean, this isn't new, but I mean, today's NFL is such a passing league. There's so much nickel played now. Do you think this is, I don't want to like exaggerate, say this is the Cowboys like getting with the times, but do you think this is the Cowboys realizing, okay, we just you know, we got to have runners because there's so many wide receivers. Every tight end can run. I mean, we got to have dudes that can cover. And Keanu is kind of, again, that hybrid sort of player that lets us live right in the middle.
I think that they really just understand. I think our criticism is in is like, I think a lot of people want to go out and get these big name guys. And I think we talked about this last week. They're not going to make a really huge splash the first week of free agency. They're going to see and kind of let this settle down and, you know, get some bargains, but get some players that can add depth and can really contribute. And, you know, for me, that's, you know, that's what they need to really, really address. And look, I think that we've seen this before. I mean, in the offseason last year, they went out and ha-ha Clinton Dix, and we saw what happened to him. That really didn't, you know, transition to – but I think Dan Quinn, that's one thing I do like about this. And it's got this all written all over it. This is Dan Quinn's type of players. He understands. As I mentioned, he knows him from Atlanta. He's been with him. So he knows what he's getting. And I think that, you know, Mike Nolan, that didn't work. And McCarthy, I think it's a thing where, look, we're going to give Dan Quinn, he's going to make the decision-making on defense. You go out, and if we draft in the first, second, third round, we go defense, these are your guys. And also in free agency. And, you know, to me, that's a good sign. I don't know what's going to happen. These players, who knows? We saw it last year. Hopefully right. They develop and they contribute. But you're not spending a whole lot of money, and you can still go out and draft players, you know, and really develop it through that way.
So on the subject of that, because, I mean, you're right. Like, and I mean, I think we all just – It's one of those things, like, you can't help but just have hope that maybe the Cowboys are going to be big players in free agency, but we all knew better. And so this was predictable. They were going to go out and get some role players and theoretically do their damage in the draft. Right now is on March 23rd. I would personally guess, it's just a guess. I mean, nobody's like told me anything, but that they would love to go. If they walk away with a corner with the 10th overall pick, I think they've done something correct. A few interesting notes on that idea, Tony, on Monday, because it is Tuesday, the two top cornerback options entering the draft obviously have been Alabama's Patrick Surtain and Virginia Tech's Caleb Farley. Some people like J.C. Horn, but whatever the case may be. Adam Schefter reported that Caleb Farley is having a microdiscectomy on Tuesday with noted back specialist Robert Watkins. It will not work out at his pro day. For a while now, Farley had been kind of falling on different national mock drafts, like the Daniel Jeremiah's and Todd McShay's and Mel Kiper's of the world. And nobody really understood why. It appears that this is the case, right? Like, this is why, obviously, nobody, it's got people spooked. It seemingly makes Patrick Surtain the top cornerback option for the Cowboys. And it's worth noting, while we're recording, I saw a tweet here. Alabama's having their pro day today. Mike McCarthy is there. So there's, you know, it's also worth saying, like, it's Alabama's pro day, so you've got to go be there. But I mean, you know, he is at Patrick Surtain's pro day, which, I mean, and so I guess all that, like, if they walk away with Patrick Surtain, how confident, like, do you feel like all this is enough? I mean, you know, you got the mighty Carlos Watkins, you got Brent Urban, you got Terrell Basham, you got Keanu Neal now, and that's just one pick. But I mean, is that enough to make the secondary legitimate?
I think, again, it just depends on what, you know, some of these, you know, these guys, you know, how they develop. I think that, you know, that's what you got to do before, after the season. You got to have the strategy. You're going to go and look, and I mean, you want to go to Alabama, where it seems like half the National Football League comes right out of every, the SEC. But I think Patrick Surtain, he is, I mean, wouldn't that be ironic? You got two corners and went to Alabama, and you think awesome about that.
Like, and not just like it, two teammates, right? Like not like, yeah, 6 years apart or something, right, like literally back to back. That'd be so cool.
Right. But, you know, to me, it just, it symbolizes where this league is going. And I think that you signed your franchise quarterback. You got that done now. And we've all talked about this. So you have to address, it's not, you're going to draft the best player. It's kind of like, we can go back to CeeDee Lamb. They never thought that CeeDee Lamb would be available the 17th pick last year, okay? And so, hope, you know, whatever is available. But certainly, I mean, I think there's enough players that they can impact. But if it's Patrick Surtain, whoever it is, and again, with what they've added, it's all about looking in the future. I think sometimes people think, okay, we want to do it now. But when you draft somebody, it's more for a guy that hopefully in the first round is going to be around 5 or 6 or 7 years. It's going to be a potential Pro Bowler that has the potential to be a Hall of Fame player. You know, you don't hit on those, but at least some consistency with what they can get. And I think that's hard for people to understand, you know, the fan. And I think after last year with the debacle season they had on defense, I mean, they are so hungry to get better on defense.
I agree. This has nothing to do with Patrick Surtain. I just think this is cool. And this, we should just give credit to where it's due here. Also with regards to the Alabama Pro Day, Adam Schefter tweeted on Tuesday morning, the Alabama running back Najee Harris, one of the best players in college football. His flight from Dallas to Birmingham was canceled Monday night due to lightning. Do you have lightning around the Casillas compound?
Last night? Oh yeah. My gosh. It was, it was a light show. It was ridiculous.
So, thank God everything worked out for you. But so according to Adam Schefter, with no other travel options available, Najee Harris drove 9 hours to make it to Alabama's pro day by 10 a.m. today. He's not working out, but wanted to be there to support his teammates. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I mean, to drive 9 hours and be there. And
not only nine hours, but like in the middle of the night.
Yeah. I mean, that says a lot about someone. And look, the fact that he's not working out, he's still there. He can talk to personnel. He can, you know, network and everything else like that. And I think that that's what you got to do is a player, show some of those, show your character, show your personality. I mean, people know you can play. I mean, we've seen this, right? But let's get in. You know, let me see my personality and who I am, because that's the best part about the evaluation is really that's what they do now. And it's all about the character and the personality. I mean, there's more volume put on that, hopefully now, than there ever has been.
I agree. No, a very cool story about Najee Harris. The Alabama Pro Day is just the center of the NFL world right now. Obviously, we'll see. The Cowboys still scheduled to visit with DeMonte Casey and Malik Hooker. I think most people, if they could choose one, would rather have Malik Hooker just because he represents a true option at safety. That's the one, I mean, shocker here. The Cowboys have not addressed the safety position. If they land him, I mean, it sounds like right now you're kind of like a 5 to 6 out of 10 on the Cowboys, you know, what they've done so far.
Yeah.
How much would that move the needle? I mean, for you.
Well, I think it moved the needle for me a lot because, I mean, I think that, you know, that safety position, it seems to me, and I think this has probably been throughout the National Football League, certainly with Dallas, it hasn't been a position that you really need to go out and spend a first round pick on. And to me, I think that this is something that the Cowboys haven't had in a long time. And really someone that can play center field in the secondary and be a director, you know, be the producer and director and try to really just, you know, be that leader in the huddle and leader on that side of the defense. And especially if they have the skill set, because the safety, that's a tough, I mean, people realize that, you know, the safety is not as valuable as a corner because you're not out on an island, but in all actuality, I mean, you got these tight ends that are running 4-5s now, and you got guys that, you know, all these different formations. I mean, you have to have a smart, really intuitive player. And if he's the guy, I think it's worth spending a first round draft pick. I mean, why not? It's an investment.
No, I agree. I'm very interested to see what they will do this week, just because it's sort of predictable that they wouldn't do anything. And last week was very predictable. So I wonder how predictable they're going to be as the offseason continues to roll on. But we are about a month away from the NFL draft, which is exciting. So we'll certainly have that to look forward to. But yeah, I mean, they're doing the Cowboys thing, you know, like why is anybody shocked right now? Were you shocked to see, this has nothing to do with the Cowboys, but the new television contracts?
Oh my gosh. What was it, like an equivalent to like $105 billion, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's worth $10 billion or like $10 to $13 billion a year for 11 years.
And that's just, it's ridiculous. And look, don't get me started on other things besides what our task at hand on this show. And I have a tendency to get off track, but I don't really, my whole sentiment on that is that there is a, different motive for me, because as a former player, I look at some of the things that they have not done for former players, right. But it just goes to show you how huge the NFL is. And to think about 10 years and over $100 billion, and who knows what the salary cap is going to be in the next 10 years.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous how much money that they're paying. And then think about it, you can see it on all platforms now. And that's the freaking NFL. I mean, how strong it is. And it's just amazing where it is. You look like, I mean, even 10 years ago, look at the numbers on the differential on that, brother. It's crazy. I mean,
it's, you know, we said this a lot during the DAC negotiations, but just three years ago, Matt Ryan was the first to get $30 million a year. And now we have like 40 isn't even like the goal anymore. Like 40 is the going rate. And so like in just 3 years, it grew by 33%. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's nuts when you really think about it. But
well, when you look at the Cowboys franchise being the most valuable franchise in the world, you know, in the NFL and in the sports of the four food group sports, you know, the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NFL, $5.5 billion. Look what they just, if you look at that 33%, you look at the value of their franchise in 10 years, it's probably going to double. I mean, it's just ridiculous, man, how much money. It's great to be an owner in the National Football League.
I am. This is, again, not like an NFL thing, but I'm just like you mentioning the four major American sports. I'm super pumped for the rest of this year. Like, it's already about to be like, because like the sports calendar is, you know, for all intents and purposes, back to normal. I mean, just as far as when things are happening. So like, we're in the middle of March Madness, you know, soon enough, we've got the Masters in April. Yeah. I mean, then it's going to be the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. Then we get the Olympics, you know, like, and then, you know, before you know it, it's the Little League World Series. I don't know if they'll do the Little League World Series, but, and then it's time for training camp. You know what I mean? Like, it's nice.
Looks
to have,
like, there's somewhat some normalcy, but we know that COVID's still out there, but certainly they've come a long way since a year ago.
Right. Speaking of March Madness, how's your bracket doing?
Oh man, you know.
Well, how bummed were you when Oklahoma lost? I picked Gonzaga to win it all, and so I did not enjoy them thrashing Oklahoma. But
mine were bounced. You know, Illinois was bounced, and just the whole. I've never seen a March Madness where it's just been so this out of whack, and all the Cinderella teams and you know, the Big Ten. And I got Arkansas. Arkansas's left, okay? So
you picked him for your daughter? Oh, is that why you picked him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we got one left, I think, right? Arkansas's
left. Yeah, they made it to the Sweet 16.
But other than that, Oral Roberts, I'm from Tulsa, so I know all about Oral Roberts. So I was cheering for them, but isn't it the greatness of March Madness? You just never know. And, you know, that's the thing about college football playoffs that needs something similar to this, because especially in basketball, I mean, you can get hot. You can have one or two players that really just go off. And the Gonzaga, man, I tell you what, brother, they look pretty. They look legit. They look like a number one seed team.
I agree with you in everything you said, especially like, this isn't the same thing, but like, I would love to see like an Oral Roberts story in the college football playoff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that would be awesome. Yeah. Like, it would be impossible, but it would be awesome. And so like, I would at least like, I mean, and again, Oral Roberts is like an extreme, but call it your Central Florida, call it Boise State. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to see that play out, you know, deeply in the college football playoff. But
when I said you patronized me, I was like, because we have our own bracket and the blog and the boys, and I don't know where I'll, and my son actually joined it. So I wanted two things. I want to beat my son, which I should beat him in our bracket.
Right.
And I want to beat you, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know where you were because I have the big iPhone. And so when I opened the app, like, even though I have the big iPhone, like, it didn't show Tony, like, you were, I had to swipe several times
to
get to the bottom.
I don't even look at it anymore.
That's okay. That's okay.
But thanks for mentioning that. I appreciate that.
Hey, you know,
Tony, how's your bracket doing?
Look, you had a hole in one.
I don't care, man.
If you don't get to have the perfect bracket, It's okay. So that about does it for our episode today. Everybody, make sure to subscribe to the Blog and the Boys Podcast Network. Leave a rating, write a review. We'll be back next week. This was the 750.